like what you hear?
It's simple. It's natural.
Like 98.5 The Sports Hub on Facebook. And continue the conversation on your favorite sports stories.
We're all compelled to do it.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Beetle live at the CBS scene in Foxborough where the Patriots are practicing today.
Go Pats.
You don't have to sneak it in.
Mike Reese with the tweet of the day. Seventh straight practice on synthetic turf. They won't be able to get to the grass fields. And I don't think you really want to do that.
Why is that the tweet of the day?
Just a little fact of the day. Not tweet of the day, factoid of the day.
Okay.
Like Paul Blart. Fun fact for you.
Never saw it.
You never saw Paul Blart.
I've seen like a couple
it's
of clips.
The best Kevin James
and I kind of chuckled at some of the physical comedy, but this is the guy that we were going to talk to.
And now he's
here, Matt Light.
There he is.
Joining us now on the program. Matt, you're on with Hardy. And
what's up, bud?
You know Scott Zolak, don't you, Matt? You've met him before?
Say that again?
Scott Zolak.
You ever hear of him?
He's a former Patriot.
Former Patriot?
He's in the booth now.
Yeah, I think he was a quarterback. I mean, he's on with this guy, this really famous guy. It's a sidekick.
But he hasn't been around lately. He had a little fender bender on Saturday night.
He almost died.
Taking 2 months off from work.
Yeah.
Anyway, Matt, with the first question for you. Zoe said you're a redneck, and I said I think Matt might take offense to that. Let's find out.
Yeah, I'm cool with that, actually. I mean, that might be the nicest thing Scott said about me in a long time.
But no, I think you're a refined redneck, and I think that's a very good compliment.
Well, it is, and I appreciate that. And listen, Zoe, just because I snoop around in your backyard trying to find turkeys to feed my family doesn't mean I'm a redneck.
Okay, so I thought of you yesterday. I'm driving my kid to school, and I come out of my house, and there are seven massive turkeys in the yard. Why are they, when the feathers are poofed out and they're, like, chest out, what does that mean? Is that all male? Are they, like, all male turkeys?
Oh, yeah. That's the big Tom turkey trying to strut his stuff, man. I mean, he's got his tail feathers out. He's got his chest all puffed up, his beard's hanging long. I mean, that's a proud dude right there, man. I mean,
yeah, but there's seven of them. There's no women around. So, like, what was I witnessing here?
Yeah, they fly in from P-Town this time of year. It's a whole
liberal
different
turkeys. I got it. Thank you. Got it.
Matt, is there any real sport in shooting a turkey? I mean,
P-Town turkeys.
They don't move that fast. You know, they seem kind of dumb. Do you take any joy in having accomplished the killing of a turkey?
Every time, my friend. Every time I celebrate. I mean, the city birds are a different story. I mean, you know, you can basically go out there in your flip-flops and a crossbow and you're good. But when you get out in the sticks, those birds are a little smarter.
Okay. Yeah, and the mothers that stay home get a little more screechy to you. I'll tell you the story off air. The woman was screaming because he blew the head off the turkey with a crossbow. I'll tell you that one off air.
Isn't that pretty much the story?
Yeah,
I mean,
we're here to talk football. We're here to talk football. We're gonna talk about the raffle, but first, I want to talk about Tom Coughlin's effect on this Jacksonville team. I'm sorry to bring it up, but your last game was against his Giants team in a Super Bowl. Why does his teams give Patriot teams led by Bill Belichick problems?
Well, I think he's a very smart coach, right? I mean, he's one of those guys like Bill that is relentless and he's always forcing the guys around him, all of his assistants, to stay late, do more, study more, situational football, all the little things that go into helping a team win. And I think that, you know, he's part of that mold. You know, there's not a, I don't know how many guys are left in the, you know, that fit that category, right? That have been around, you know, as long as Bill and Tom. And, you know, look, it's not the whole thing. As players, you kind of you kind of don't like talking about the coaching effect a whole lot because it takes away from kind of what you do on the field and the fact that players are the ones that make plays. But you got to be in good position to go out there and make your plays. And you know, Bill puts his team in the best position no matter who's on the field. And I think Coughlin does the same thing. You know, very, very detailed. Yeah. I actually enjoyed reading his book, and I thought it gave you a pretty good insight into who he is and the way that he coaches. And he's got this team playing well. We've been talking about Jacksonville all season and their ability to, you know, really make a mark on the playoffs. And here they are in the AFC Championship game. You know, who would have said that at the beginning of the season? Not many.
Well, Matt, one of the things that we keep talking about with Jacksonville, Leonard Fournette, obviously, when you're talking about the pluses, other than, you know, Blake Bortles, which is still kind of a head-scratcher for a lot of people, but it's the front four. It's the front four on defense. As a lineman, what do you see when you look at the front four from Jacksonville?
Well, to be quite honest with you, I've only seen them a few times. I haven't studied a lot of film on these guys. I think they're very aggressive up front, and they've got, you know, they've got the ability to make plays with just those guys, right? I mean, I don't know what their, you know, Zoe, maybe you study this a little bit more. I'm not sure what their blitz package is truly like, what they're doing recently versus. I mean,
a lot of it's like the Giants, you know, with that four down, where if they could get pressure with four, they'll, you know, they'll drop seven underneath.
Yeah, and that's what I saw. I mean, in the limited games that I saw, those guys have the ability to get pressure with just the front guys. And that is, you know, look, that's definitely in the mold of what they did, you know, against us, you know, with those ridiculous games that we lost in the Super Bowl. But any team that can do that creates serious problems. Because, look, Tommy's great, obviously, at picking up the blitz. He understands where things are going to come from, where they had the potential to come from. He's good with the sight adjust. His receivers understand it. All that's great. But you can't really account for the one-on-one matchups and guys getting beat when it's 5-on-4, right? I mean, you got to think that your guy's going to hold up, and when there is a breakdown, that's when you can have some, you know, real issues up front. And that's really, honestly, where we've had, you know, issues throughout, you know, my career and in the recent past, is when you can just rush four guys and get pressure on the quarterback.
All right, you've done a great job with the Light Foundation. You've had your shootout, and it's kind of cool. We do this 7 straight years. You've got a great raffle taking place. Tell the people how they could get onto it, what you could buy into it for, and potentially what you could win here for the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, listen, it's a great package. You know, this is round two of the playoff raffle series. Playoffraffle.com. It's real simple. You can go on there through your mobile device or your computer and get as many tickets as you want. They're only $1 each with a minimum of 10. So $10, 10 tickets. And last week, the winners bought, I believe, $20 each, and couldn't believe it when I called them. They're like, yeah, this is a joke. I'm like, I promise you it's not. This package is even bigger and better than last week's. Each one of these, we're going to pull 3 winners, our grand prize winner and 2 runners-up. They all get tickets in the club level for this game, you know, this AFC Championship game. But the grand prize winner is also going to get a stay at the Renaissance. They're going to have dinner with myself and, I believe, Troy Brown. You know, the great legendary Patriot is going to join us for that dinner. We're going to do that right there at Patriot Place. So that's going to be at the Scorpion Bar. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Nice TV.
And then we also got Dunkin' Donuts for the year, by the way, as well as Eastern Propane kicked in a nice Weber grill and some steak. So unbelievable package, a lot of great stuff. And the money's all going to Life Foundation, like you said, man. You know, that does a lot for us and the work that we do with kids throughout the country.
So, as you said, this one even ramped up even more so than last week. I'm not even going to mention next week because we've got to win this one first. But I'm sure you got something up your sleeve for next week, too, if we get there.
Yes, we're going to have another great one. But, you know, look, $600,000 is what we've raised just in the playoffs. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things the league has to do better. And I'm kind of switching gears here, but you know, I think there's a lot of things, and I've been vocal about it, and I think that, you know, it's been disappointing to watch, you know, how the league has refused to get ahead of things. But at the same time, I say this. It's amazing what the game of football can do for so many people, whether it's your kid playing, whether it's a friend, whether you just love watching the game with your buddies, or you're like me, a former player who's benefiting through the foundation and the money we raise. It's amazing what the league can do.
All right, if you want to find out more, at Light Foundation on Twitter, and I believe the website is at mattlight72.com. Is that right, Matt?
That'll take you to everything that we do through the Life Foundation. If you want to go directly to the raffle, go to playoffraffle.com and get as many as you want.
All right, buddy. We appreciate the time, pal.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great week.
I'll see you Sunday.
There we go. There goes Matt Light here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We got a little busy tone there, and we got Brad Stevens joining us next.
Oh, I get him with that question again.
Are you just gonna do it, or are we gonna like talk to him about it?
I'm gonna insult him again.
I can't wait. Okay, I'll let you do it. CBS Sports Minute is sponsored by Stone and Bank. John Feinstein on how politics and sports have made their way over to the tennis world.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand live at the CBS Scene. Hardy in for Beadle today. Joining us now, Celtics head coach Brad Stevens. Coach, you with us?
We got him?
That's kind of what I'm asking.
We don't have him?
Oh, I believe we have him now. There we go.
We got him?
Coach, how are we doing?
What's up, guys?
Oh, just getting ready for an AFC Championship game. Now, I don't know if you remember that last.
We did this last year. You chickened out.
And you said, well, I'm just getting ready for a Toronto Raptor game. How about how you like those apples, Zolak? So I learned from my mistakes. Don't ask the stupid question. Hey, yeah, we haven't talked.
Hey,
I mean,
what's the deal on Jacksonville?
They're pretty tough. Pretty tough. They're big.
They look tough. They look
big
tough
and physical.
From the very small amount that I saw on Sunday.
They got 11 LeBron James right there, man. Talking about big 6'6", 6'7" guys. It's 6'8", about 255, and they could bench probably 340. But, Coach, how you doing? We haven't talked to you since London.
Since before London. How was the trip?
Well, I think my wife had a great time.
I told you she was going to like it. I told you.
So, no, our travel party.
Were you not a fan?
They did a great job of taking care of our – we had a travel party. A lot of our – players brought guests. We had, I don't know what our total party number was, but they had tours and things set up for them every day, and we practiced, got ready to play, and left.
Well, you went down 22 points in the second quarter in that game. So your first game back last night against New Orleans, you find yourselves down again, and I think it was Kyrie after the game who said, yeah, we can't keep falling behind like that. That seems obvious, but what do you do to remedy that situation?
We have to be more consistent with our play all the way throughout 48 minutes. We haven't been close to a 48 minute team. Every coach will say that, and I'll certainly have said it numerous times throughout my career, and I'm not sure that you truly ever get the full 48. I think you strive for that perfect game, but your goal is to have the right purpose, the right pace for that 48. And, you know, I think that we've had more moments than most, and that's why we're where we are. But at the same time, I think that we have to get a lot better if we want to, you know, continue to make strides. And, you know, we're not good enough now to be a factor unless we get better. You know, if we get better, then, time will tell. But we've got a lot of room to improve, and I think the number one thing is playing with the right purpose all the way through the clock.
Coach, you miss one day in our business. It feels like you missed 3 weeks, and I know they front-loaded that schedule because of the London trip, but do you feel a little sluggish getting back to it? Did it take the body a while to adjust when you got back?
Good question. I felt better coming back to Boston than I did going to London. Took me a few days personally to feel good in London, and then we left. But for whatever reason, coming back west was an easier transition. So there shouldn't be any excuses from our standpoint. We had plenty of time to get ready to play and play well last night. We just got outplayed, and you know, they deserve credit for that. I mean, obviously, an unreal individual performance by Davis, but there are other guys made plays too, and we didn't make enough of them.
Now, are you able at all to look at that game and a player like Davis last night, what he did objectively, like almost from like an academic standpoint? Because I'm watching the game like, wow, that Anthony Davis is really, really good. I mean, can you view it with any kind of objectivity as it's happening there in front of you, or are you just consumed with figuring out a way how to stop him?
No, yeah, for sure. And that's why you're okay with the plays where you do everything you can to challenge him as well as you can. And the plays where you're a step slow, you're a step behind, you don't do your job exactly the right way, because that's, you know, you may be pretty close to doing it the right way, but if you mishandle a screen, if you help too much and are late to recovering to him, you think you have good body position, he spins out on you and gets a lob, like, those things add up. We've got to take away those things. We've got to make everything as difficult as possible. We just didn't do that enough of the time last night, not just for him, but for everybody else. You know, I think one of the things that if you look at through our year, we've been a pretty good defensive team. And, you know, I don't know where we are in the league, but it's one or two. And but at the same time, one of the things that I'm concerned about is we've given up a lot of great individual performances.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's got to change. And, you know, those guys are going to get their points. You just have to make them earn it. And it can't be 45. You have to make it so that it's if they have a great night, it's they earned a 30-point night. It's just a little bit different, you know, because when the great ones get going, that's a real – you're in for a tough night.
That's an interesting statement because, I mean, is that the toughest thing for you personally in this league that – you have those nights like that. We've seen it with you guys. We've seen it with Isaiah last year. You know, Kyrie taking over games, whether it's Al. And you watch that court last night. You see Hardy mentions Davis. And then you got Cousins there. But you just see Davis has a little more energy. Cousins seems a little lethargic. But when it's together, it's almost like you can't defend that.
Well, here's the way the league has gone makes the age-old question has always been, we'll take the ball out of their hands and double-team them. And now, when you decide you're going to double, whether it's Embiid tomorrow night with Philly, whether it's Cousins, whether it's Davis, whether it's Kyrie off of a pick and roll, you're conceding an open three-pointer at some point. And if teams space the floor with shooters, that becomes really tough. So, you know, there may be even more games where you look at a great, great player and in isolation he gets 30, 32, 34, and it seems like it's really taking a toll on your team, but you're really taking away everybody else and guarding the three-point line, and, you know, they still got to score 60 or 70 more to win. And so the real challenge is balancing that, especially when a guy like Davis gets going.
Coach Brad Stevens with us. You went on a road trip with Gordon Hayward. I think on Monday night you guys went down Providence to catch a Butler game. It's kind of a long ride. Did you guys run out of things to talk about? Did it get awkward at any point? Was it just the two of you in the car? That seems like a good fly on the wall scenario.
You know what? It was really fun for us. I don't want to speak for Gordon, but Gordon and his wife Robin hopped in the car with me and Tracy and our two kids, and we all went and watched the game. And you know, we don't get a chance to do that very often. Very rarely do you have a break in the NBA where it's more than one day, and very rarely does it, you know, fall on a day where, you know, you've done all your work to get ready for the next one. And so it was really a great opportunity to do that. It's always fun to see those games. I've been able to get back to a couple during All-Star breaks. But, you know, that's my kids have grown up. Like, they're obviously huge Celtics fans and have embraced all of New England sports. But the other thing that they watch every time they get a chance is Butler basketball, because it was, you know, I was there for 13 years and it's such a big part of our life still.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry about the loss on Monday night. Our producer,
sense a Providence background there?
Our producer, Jim Louth,
I have to
stick up for him a little bit. But, okay, speaking of Hayward, he's been doing a little shooting. I think he took a free throw at the end of practice the other day to see if there's one more drill. I mean, I hear stuff like that, and my attitude changes, like, maybe I wouldn't mind seeing Hayward back this season. Does it change your mind at all, or is it just all part of the plan?
Well, I mean, it doesn't change where I think he is. This is where you expect it to be. I mean, he's 13 weeks out of surgery already. I mean, that's over 3 months. or right at 3 months, maybe today. And so he's progressing at the rate that everybody had thought he would, with no assumption that he will be back this year.
All right. Coach Brad Stevens, we appreciate the time. Good luck going forward. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Go back.
Thanks, Coach.
You too.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
See, he took that in stride when you said that.
He was ready for it.
Yeah. I think he really wanted to talk about Jacksonville.
He knew the opponent. I give him credit.
You want to do the breaking news? You want to keep that to yourself? Come on. That deserves a mention.
It is a nice little mention. It's got a nice little email. Daughter Hadley, she's applied to a bunch of schools. Just got accepted to another school, University of Arizona. So she's got a bunch to choose from now.
Where's she going to go?
I don't know.
That's far away from home, Daddy. Huh? That's a long way from home,
Dad.
It's
a long way from home. I don't know. That's a big – hey, you know who went there?
Yeah, I do.
Big boy.
Yeah, big boy. 87. Big boy.
I don't
no
need her,
Tide Pod.
I don't need her seeing any number 87 at any pool parties going back here. Okay?
We'll get an update here from Nick Cattles, and we'll continue our broadcast live here at the CBS Scene. Tory Crew joins us next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Tomorrow at 11:30 and 1:30, your chance at Patriots Jaguars tickets for the AFC Championship here Sunday at Gillette Stadium. 11:30 and 1:30 tomorrow here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're giving away two pair,
four tickets.
Jesus,
that's four all day. Since we're in a restaurant, I'm going to do restaurant talk. We say, yeah, I need two and two. That's four all day.
Two and two.
Yeah, when you're talking back to whoever the chef is or the line cook, that's like what you say. We got four all day.
Or when you get on a plane and one of them stand up front, and they're doing the two and two, the two exits, front, center.
You can go airplane
the
talk.
Hands back.
I prefer
two.
I prefer restaurant.
I'll do that
talk.
Two and two.
All right.
Okay, we got to talk about social media here real quick. Now, Dan Shaughnessy's in with us once a week.
Yes.
Dan has finally gotten an iPhone instead of an old BlackBerry. And Dan likes to keep the Jewish calendar booklet with him. And he does that because it has massive pages. Dan buys a Jewish hand-turned calendar of each month, and it's got...
Why is that a Jewish calendar?
Because he says they're the only ones that do a full page for a day because he likes the big space to write things in. This is how particular he is.
Yeah, or 365-page book.
Old school. He has an old school book like that. I'm like, Dan, let's get the iPhone. You got a notes thing. Go right there to the day. He sends alerts. I don't know how to do all that. So Dan Shaughnessy is trying to get in touch with Dan Roach. So...
Dan tweeted,
call me. Put out a tweet.
To Dan Roach.
Not to Dan Roach. He was trying, and according to T-Bone back at studio, Shaughnessy called in, hey, what's Roach's number? I just tried to direct message him on Twitter. Like, call me. So Dan thought he was direct messaging Dan Roach on Twitter, but Dan put out a call me and almost put his number out there. So I put Dan's number out there on Twitter.
Oh, that's nice of you.
But there's another step that we missed. So you know how you can, like, share contact through the iPhone?
Yeah.
So Tom just shared the contact with Shaughnessy, and he's like, I don't know how to do anything with that. I don't know what to do with that. So he had to give him the physical phone number, like, out loud over the phone.
I don't know what you're talking about, and I want you to shut up.
What a tool.
I'm sure this never happens with Tory Krug, who is almost set to join us here now as the Bruins will take on the Canadiens again for the second time in, what, 4 days?
Yeah, Saturday night, right?
Yeah, after the shootout win over the Canadiens in Montreal. So as soon as Tory is ready, we'll bring him on here to the Zolak and Bertrand Show. Hardy in for Beetle today. Tory, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
What's going on, buddy?
Not much. Just getting ready for a big matchup tonight.
So you got the shootout win on Saturday night. They're coming in here tonight. Do you still feel, or did you ever feel any, like, I don't know, weird feelings about playing up in Montreal, Bell Center? I mean, you know, you're a native Michigander, so you got some ideas to what the whole Montreal experience is all about.
nothing weird about it. I think just it's always exciting. You know, there's a few rinks around the league where you get excited to play, and yeah. I know, you know, for me personally, Detroit's one of them. Then you go Madison Square Garden, United Center in Chicago is a great one, and then, you know, the Bell Center is always a game that you get excited to play in, and in front of their fans, it's a lot of fun.
Marshawn get all juiced up after that. Is he doing anything? Like, he's had game winners before, you know, but is there anything different with him up there? Like, does it take it to another level on a plane or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. I think Marshy's getting used to his level of success. He's obviously a guy that we rely on a lot, so he's you know, he's getting used to it. So,
all right, what's changed with him? Has he bought a new car? Is it leather pants? I mean, what's elevated him to this next level? Like off the ice?
I think he's hanging around with Bergeron a little bit more.
Oh,
yeah, sassy, that's the secret to success for everyone. Oh. So.
All right, so, Torrey, tonight looks like Kevin Miller, we hear that he's sick. He might be out. But Adam McQuaid making a return to the lineup tonight, maybe, which would be the first time he's been on the ice since, like, October. What would it be like to have him back tonight?
Well, it would be great. I know we're all very excited for Adam to get in there. He's a great person, great locker room guy. What he does on the ice speaks for itself. He's a warrior for our team, and I know everyone knows how hard he's been working to come back, and just waiting for his time to get back in the lineup. Obviously, we've been playing well, so he hasn't had that opportunity so far, but I know he's excited, and we are too for him, and you know, I can't wait to see him out there. I know he'll be ready to go for sure.
You anxious to see what kind of reaction Claude gets tonight?
Would you ask if I'm anxious?
Claude, I mean, you know, coming back to the Garden, you anxious to see what kind of reaction he gets tonight?
Oh, I think he'll get a good reaction. I mean,
sure.
He's done a lot of great things for this city. He brought back a Stanley Cup and, you know, won a lot of hockey games in that building and for this organization. So he's done a lot of great things. So he should get a great reception.
That layoff seemed to come at either a good time or a bad time, depending on who you ask. And you may have been asked this 100 times before, but your bye week when you guys were playing well, did it bother you at all to have to kind of shut it down for a few days, or did you everybody grateful for a chance to recharge and get some health back?
Well, yeah, you can look at it both ways. I think a lot of us are. I don't think anyone really brought up the disappointment and the fact because we're going to play a lot of games here coming up soon. So to get that break, we're very grateful for that and fortunate. And we're just so confident in the way that we play that we figure we'll come back and we'll continue to work on our game and we'll get back to that standard that we expect to play at every single day. So I don't think we were worried too much about the break coming at the time where we're rolling because, like I said, we know that we can get back to that level. And so we're very grateful for that break.
Yeah, I mean, you got a tough couple months coming up here, and we're going to find out really what this team is, right? I mean, it seems like one of those weird injuries always creeps up on somebody once March hits, whether it was, you know, going with Krejci or Seidenberg years ago with the knee, and you're always waiting for that one guy to come back. And when these games are tightened up and they're tight together, it's one after the other, and you're going to, you know, we're going to find out whether you're going to add it to trade deadline. You know, you're going to have a little break right there, see what happens. Is this the tough point right now? Because you've had success, you know, for the most part, for the last month. I mean, things have been going smooth. And not to say that it always ends badly, but it's kind of been that feeling where injuries creep up and cripple the team. Isn't that really attrition, though, that, you know, you kind of plan for it and you just got to deal with it when they come around?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, what we have going on with our team right now is something really good with the mix of young and older guys. So, at this point in the season, it's easy to fall into a lull where, you know, you're playing a lot of games and it feels like Groundhog Day. You get up, you go to the rink, do your meetings, then you show up for a game. So, you know, with that mix of younger and older guys, it kind of keeps everyone on our toes. You know, and also it's just one of those things that you show up every day and you just put your head down and you go to work and all of a sudden time's flying by. So to really embrace the moment and realize every day, you know, hey, we have another chance to get better today and we have a chance to get two more points and then we can just move on from there. So I know it's cliche taking a day by day, you know, mentality, but that's truly what we're doing and you can't really look forward to anything like that. But the depth that we have in our room and within our lineup and the internal competition that we have this year has been much greater. And I think that really helps our team out.
That's a good answer, because that was one of the dumbest, poorly worded questions, and it was spinning in my head. But what I'm hearing here is, and you listen to hockey shows, and, you know, we talk with Jaffe, and they're like, well, they're in second place, they're in great shape, but, you know, like, they're waiting for the for that shoe to drop to where you're going to miss this one player. Like, people are expecting that to happen. I'm like, well, why do you got to deal with that? Like you say, why can't we just deal with one day, one month at a time, and God forbid, if it happens at the end of the year, it happens. You can't control that crap. But, like, why do we do this here in this city? Expect somebody's going to go down here of importance, whether it's you, whether it's Patrice. Why do we do this?
I don't
why
know. Tory's been here long enough.
It's like a negative. I hate that negative take.
Tory, why are we so negative? Why do
yeah.
you? Yeah. That's
it, your you, know what? You know what? The Patriots are dealing with that. Like, people are trying to dismiss their success. Do you guys get pissed off when, you know, you hear the criticisms out there that, well, yeah, the Bruins are doing well, but... You know, like the Sagan stuff from the other
okay,
night.
Okay, land the
oh,
plane.
Great trade.
Land the plane.
Yeah. Like, I'm like,
oh,
the Sagan point. I want to bring it up, but, oh, Sagan got the game winner. Yeah. Sure to trade him. Like,
no, I think that, you know, all of that comes with the expectations to win. And, you know, winning championships in the city is the only thing that matters. And the fans obviously love that. And they push us towards that. At the same time, you know, we try to keep ourselves within a bubble in the locker room and cancel out the noise. I know, you know, that's what the Patriots do, the Red Sox have to deal with it, the Celtics, everyone. So, you know, we just try to worry about doing our job to the best of our ability, and then whatever follows from that, you know, that's what's going to happen. So we're just trying to focus, you know, within ourselves, and we'll continue to do that.
All right, Tory, we'll be watching tonight as you guys take on Montreal there at the TD Garden. And, oh, by the way, Matt Patricia, Patriots defensive coordinator, looks like he's going to the Lions. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I know. That'd be awesome. Obviously, the offense in Detroit's been doing, you know, great things for a while, and we could use a special defensive mind. You know, it seems like he'd be a great fit for him, so that'd be great.
What we could use with that Lions team is a playoff win, because I'm trying to think how old you are. If you were alive for the 91 playoff win, yeah. That's the only
yeah,
one I've been alive
91,
for.
So,
yeah.
So, doesn't happen often. Few and far between.
Exactly. Tory, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
See you, pal. Good luck tonight.
Take care. All right.
There he goes. Tory Krug there on the AT&T Expert Hotline. Can I have – I'm just going to tip my hand early. Zoe's question from that second to last question is my takeaway for today.
Yeah.
We need some time to dissect that one.
It was a bad one.
Toward the end of the show.
But I knew it. I knew it asking it.
No, you're fine.
You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here, well, we don't know what this Bruins team is. I'm like, can't you just enjoy it for what it is right now? Like, they're playing well. Like, what are you waiting? What are you
don't
waiting
ask
to
it. Don't
it's
ask
gonna
it.
Happen.
Don't ask it again, please.
Maybe Tuca's going to get diarrhea, like with the when you need a game, and yeah,
we'll take.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh my God, we've got calls on the line, and one in particular, which is a follow up from yesterday. So
what's that?
What was your favorite call from yesterday?
Oh, it was it Fred or Jungle O?
Bingo,
Jungle O.
Back on the line. It's going down just like I told ya.
He's back.
He wants a chance to redeem. He wants a chance to redeem himself.
Playoffs are
Jungle
back.
O, you're going to get that chance next.
Yes.
Zolak.
A little bit of badass, a little bit of salt and vinegar.
Bertrand.
Sorry, I said that weird.
Zolak and Bertrand.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
So now you know it's first thing goal. Let the five babies burn in with the ball just to keep the play alive.
Best thing I ever did was speed the tempo of this up. This is the original version. I did it on my phone. I fixed this song on my phone.
Don't say that. Yeah,
he was so angry.
You hurt his feelings.
Aren't you waiting for like?
You know, it's like in Mona Lisa, all she needed was a hat and sunglasses. I put it on her, and there's boom. Now that's a painting.
It's a makeup.
So that's
long,
Jungle O.
Face.
He called yesterday. He had a Patriots-Titans rap, which...
After the game.
...was an interesting choice 3 days after the game.
Sure.
But he's back on the line now. He Great. Says he's... I'm told he's looking for redemption. So, Jungle O joining us now here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy and for Beetle. Jungle O, how are you?
Doing pretty good today. Actually, I had to hang up the phone yesterday. I was so embarrassed. About 3 seconds into it, my grandson came up to my driver's side window. He kind of startled me. When I looked to my left to see him, that was it. It threw me all off. So everything after 3 seconds was not what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, right. That so, happens so, to a lot of hip-hop artists right. when they're laying down a track in the car, one of their grandchildren will disturb them. It's happened to Kanye. It used to happen to Run DMC.
It's kind of a cool thing, like sure. when you're babysitting your grandkids, letting them run around your car outside while you sit in it.
Yeah, so anyway, that's what happened, and, you know, I'm just looking for some redemption.
All right, well...
Okay, well, what would you like as redemption?
To do this song for you.
Yeah, let's do it.
Drop some... Now, is this another Tennessee Titans rap?
Absolutely.
Because we're now four days removed from the game, Jungalo.
Well, you have... I mean, how can you rap about a game before it? Because if they lose... Your song's no good.
If I get you a parking pass, would you come to the game and rap in your monkey suit?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Are you going to get him a ticket or just a parking pass?
Not a ticket.
Okay.
Did you hear what I said? A parking pass.
All right. Well, I just wanted to clarify. All right.
I don't want him in the stadium.
All right. So, Jungalo, this is like a victory lap rap song after the Patriots-Titans divisional round game from Saturday.
Absolutely.
All right, lay it on
us. How many times did he say absolutely?
Don't want to be a Tennessee Titan. Now you know that they're always going to be fighting a losing battle. When you're going up against the Pats of Brady, it's the ultimate battle. Now if you don't believe me, then go to Seattle. I'm about the heat of the battle. Honkowski, I'm a dozer. It's going down just like I told ya. Look that grump there, he's a soldier. Just like I told ya. Three flowers coming off the edge, looking like a hedge. Honk, hit him in the noggin. Now he's low and he's hogging. Hogging. Off the bench, giving off the stench. Brady's never going to fail.
I've had enough.
Did I fail to mention it?
We're good, bud.
Now you see, Larry Oda's in an old
I think we can probably just continue the show.
Now you see,
he's not going to stop. 617, just turn off.
779-0985.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Jungalo.
Why the megaphone? Turn it off.
Okay.
I don't want to hear it.
All right.
Turn it off.
Oh, he's listening back.
I know that.
All right, well.
I'm not going to do this.
We did it. It's done. What do you mean you're not going to do it? You said put him back on.
I told you.
You told him to give him a parking pass to get into the stadium.
He's not getting a pass for that.
So now the offer's off the table.
Well, I thought it was going to be something new. It's the same song.
Well, he just
there's two things that just happened. One of two.
What?
He either sang it through a megaphone.
Or he had a recording.
Or he pressed play and that was his recording on a boombox. I'm going to go with the number two, boombox.
See, recording. You said megaphone. I thought he was playing a recording.
I think he played a
recording. I thought megaphone.
So you mean to tell me he's Jim Murray?
I think he thinks that's like an auto-tune type thing.
No, it's not. Jim Murray doing Carlton from the megaphone. Now that works. That right there, what Jungalo did not work.
The megaphone into the microphone as a long-utilized tool. Scott Weiland was famous for it. Dead and bloated, sex-type thing. I mean, it creates a certain sound that you can't capture anywhere else. I don't know that it works necessarily over the phone.
I like when Billy
the
Lanny.
The megaphone doubling up on the phone, you're kind of doubling up on that same
sounds
effect.
Like a phone call on the phone call.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
It sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Okay.
Hey, that worked in here.
Yeah, like, it sounded like good Billy, in the CBS scene.
When Billy Lanny,
that's what we need.
Grabs the microphone, he does the T stop. Boom, boom. You know,
boom, 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 boom.
Reach me, a door's open on the left side. Let's get more square.
Ding, ding.
Let's let Nick Cattles give us a hub headlines here for.
Let's take a break.
90 seconds, and then we'll continue with your calls, continue talking about Jacksonville, Hardy in for Beetle on the Zolak and Bertrand show.
Party.
Here at Foxborough on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Seattle.
All right, lay it on
us.